This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 19th, episode 1085, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday to you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning, either live or recorded later on in the day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. How was your weekend, Glenn?
We had a fun weekend. We did all kinds of things, had a good time. We might have some extra listeners today. It's Martin Luther King Day. Banks have off and government offices have off. We don't have off. We are here. We are live. So
I'm pretty sure that people sleep in when they don't have to get up.
Does Chad have off? Does Chad have off?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Chad has off. He's you know, he works for the state. He works for the country. They get
That's
any
right.
holiday
so he
off.
Is off. That's right. This is one of those holidays where if you work for a bank or a government office, you have off, and the rest of us work. So.
Well, we never got it off for radio, and then people would complain that we're supposed to have it off, and then one year we'd get it off, and the next year we wouldn't get it off, and it would always kind of be cyclical on what we would get to do. So I'm going to go ahead and take this one off, so I'm going back to bed.
Okay, all right. After your weekend, you probably feel like it too.
Dude, I'm so sore. It's not even funny. My whole body hurts.
Well, we're going to find out more about that. I got to hear how your weekend went in California doing your lessons, so we'll see how you made out there. We also have a lot of other fun stuff planned for the show today, and Jennifer's going to tell us about that.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, once we have thoroughly investigated our co-host's weekend adventures, we will move on to the Eclipse Award winners for 2014. And if anyone can toot their own horn better than Hollywood, it's racing folks. And rounding out the show, the Wacky World of Horse Nation plays the first laugh track of the week. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Oh, I'm getting echo there. Is that you, Jamie? You have your headset in?
Sorry, the puppy just disconnected everything. Carry on.
Okay.
The
She's
puppy
been having
ate my
problems
homework.
With the puppy all morning.
So,
mine does that too. Gloria will wake with a start and decide she has to run across the house and tear every cord out from the back of all my computers. That happens. A lot more than
that. So fun.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. Daily Winnie time. I think we both have listener Daily Winnies today. Mine goes out to, I don't know, I don't remember this name before, so I know it's the first Daily Winnie she's gotten, and that's Misty West. She wrote on Friday on our Facebook page, "You guys were really fired up on Friday's show. Really had me laughing. I don't even remember what we did on Friday's show." That's 3 days ago, but it must have been good. So we're glad you liked it, Misty, and thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah. A I was going to say, if you'd like something, be more specific, because we forget what we did 5 minutes after we said it. My Daily Winnie goes out to another listener, a listener named Sarah Roon, who was also at Galway Downs over the weekend and was in the barn across from me, and I got to hang out with her and meet her. And her, she's the one, Glenn, that lives in California that had her horse she got from the movie, the TV show Luck. Her horse was in that TV show. He's one of the ones that survived
the TV
show.
One of the very few that lived, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I got to hang out with her and thank her. I just wanted to say thank you for being there to assist me when I needed to get my horse down to cross country, and she led him for me. So more about that later, but I just wanted to thank her for it. She kept going, "You want to lead? You want to lead?" A couple different times. I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Or one time I was like, "No, I don't want to hurt you." No, you're good.
Do not injure the listeners, Jamie.
Yeah.
I know. I was trying.
See, she listens to the show, so she knew what it was going to be like. She knew what a spectacle it was going to be. You don't know that secretly when she saw you were across from her, she went, "Oh, damn, this is going to be a long weekend."
Sorry, hold on. This puppy is killing me.
You wanted a puppy. I don't know why you want a puppy. See, that's why we adopt fully grown greyhounds. That's why we do that. So we don't have to worry about that issue. Well,
your
we had
puppy
a
sounds in the background. There
yeah, I do.
Now
I hear
chasing
puppy
the puppy
getting locked out of the studio is what I hear. I think
the puppy was either chewing on a cord or peeing on the floor. One of the two.
Yes, one of the two, or eating the walls.
They do.
That's what
she's grabbing the cords that are plugged into the computer, which is my microphone and my headphones. She runs up, grabs those, and runs backwards. So she unplugs all the cords continuously. Sorry. Breathe. Okay. I'm back.
Well, we can talk about your weekend now if you'd like. You were at Galway, and it was a kind of a lesson weekend, right?
Yeah, they do what's the Galway fundraiser, and so instructors from all over, huge names, thank God, they're huge names come out, and they volunteer their time. James Atkinson was there, Tammy Smith was there, Holly Bennett was there, among Debbie Rosen was there, and that's who Sarah got to ride with. And all these really awesome eventers are there, and you basically pay Galway Downs to ride with a selected trainer of choice. So I rode with James Atkinson on Saturday and Taryn Atkinson, his wife, on Sunday. Had just an absolute blast. It was such a learning experience. I cannot believe the things my horse jumped. The first day, I was in James's group, and I was riding with, like, all these awesome riders. I was in a group with just all these phenomenal advanced level event riders, and I was on Edward. Everybody was on some green horses, but everybody else's horse seemed to understand that we're going to be in it for the long haul, and we should calm down, wait our turn, and go jump. My problem is that Edward, now mind you, there is 300 people here, and that is 300 people that throughout the day filter onto the cross-country course in groups and go and jump different various areas of the – so it is a crazy galloping mess. So after leaving the warm-up arena on day one, we go down and James is like, okay, go jump this one, go around it out, and gallop down the hill, and then go to – and so there's like four or five jumps in a row. So I get on, and Edward is freaking out. I mean, freaking out, like pawing, shaking, kicking. He's just very, very, he's so nervous. He's just a nervous horse. And all this commotion and all this activity was like so much for his little tiny brain. So he's very nervous. However, once I put him to work, he did pretty good. So, he's nervous. He's pawing. He's kind of shaking. Twice he tried to lay down. Yeah, he like starts to drop. I'm like, get up. Yeah, so I start out on the course.
Hard to
jump
when you're laying on the ground. Really difficult to get any height at all. Yeah,
I know, he was so stressed out. I mean, he's lathered before we even started. So I head out on fence one, loop around fence two, jump fence three, and I'm galloping down the hill. And at this time, a riderless horse comes galloping straight up towards us. Oh, my God. I saw so many. I heard so – it was like I said, there's popping air vests like popcorn out there, like everywhere. People were falling
lose
up their horses. Constantly, lose horse, you know, like, oh, gosh, it was crazy. It was just crazy how many horses. But to see this giant gray horse galloping straight at us, and Edward was, like, you know, looking where his feet were, and then he looks up, and he's like, "Bah!" He's coming. I like have to circle. I barely stayed on. There was many near falls in my weekend, I'll tell you. But one included a very good save in the water by me, because I did not want to, you know, have a popcorn pop and be floating on my back, flailing in the water jump. So I was able to stay on that one, but I think my husband got that one on video. Oh, gosh, it was painful to watch. But you know what? We jumped all sorts of complexes and all sorts of crazy stuff that he never has jumped before. And, I mean, you know, there's one like James is like, okay, I want you guys to go up to the hump jump, then land, go back down to the ditch, make a left turn. You're going to jump this one jump, one stride into the water. And I was like, I raised my hand. I'm like, we've never jumped a ditch. So he's like, okay, so basically everybody in my group would do one thing and then he would modify it for me. Okay, so what we're gonna have is Jamie just go jump the ditch. If that goes well, loop around and do the whole thing. So I had to continuously. I don't wanna be that girl. Yeah, that was me. That was me. It's like, oh, do the jump the house, then the down bank, and then you're gonna go. And I was like, I raised my hand slowly. I've never jumped a down bank with him before. It's like, oh. All right,
Jamie you see
you
those cross rails laying on the ground over there? You see that little branch over there that's laying on the ground? You can jump that one.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I was trying to jump novice, so I signed up for the novice group. And it's like, wait a minute, you've never done any of this before? I mean, but that's what we were there to do, and they were very patient with me, and they modified things for me. Second day, we had to kind of do the same thing. Some of the stuff these, you know, on day two, all these kind of more solid novice horses are doing all sorts of stuff, training stuff, and I was like, let me just tell you that our first novice fence was yesterday. So we're not ready to move up to training. I'm not cool with that. We did jump two training jumps. So before I knew they were training jumps. So I jumped them, and then I was like, "What? I don't want to jump training jumps." But it was a super, super fun time. I learned so much, and I met so many awesome people, and it was really, really, really fun. I saw a bunch of friends, and it was a great experience, and getting to hang out with Sarah was really cool. So it was all in all a very successful weekend. The husband was there. The baby was there. It was really cool.
Yay, good times. Well, we'll see how they felt about you being in their groups if they ever come on the program again. Next time you contact them to be a guest and they say, oh, we're busy, you'll know.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was awesome. I don't know how that's going to work out. We'll see.
Well, I'm glad you were safe. That was the one thing.
Oh,
and you had a good time and learned a little. So that's
I do have to tell you, Taryn Atkinson is the sweetest person in the world, and she's so positive when she's teaching, and I love that. She's kind of quiet and kind of positive, and one jump did not go so well, and she said, she says to me, now, Jamie, even though you weren't super confident going to that jump, blah, 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 and I was like, Taryn, please don't BS me. I'm super confident. I rode backwards to that jump, and she was like, okay, you did kind of moonwalk to it. You were moonwalking to that jump. I was like, but I like that. Even though you weren't super confident, I was like, I rode so backwards to that fence. She's like, yeah, you moonwalked it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you were safe. You didn't use any CO2 cartridges?
No, none. It was awesome.
That's pretty good. Apparently, were they selling them by the case there at the start?
Oh, my God. They got so low on the cartridges that Sarah told me that, because Sarah, don't worry. I won't tell everybody you fell off and popped your vest on Saturday. But the CO2 cartridges, you know, they sell them in the three packs. And Sarah told me when she went up to buy a new one, a replacement one for herself, they were like, oh, no, we're only selling them one at a time now because we're running out. And they ended up running out.
Rationing out the cartridges.
Yep.
Those
that's it.
Really
you only get one.
Can buy one. You only get one.
You fall off once more, that's it. You can't ride anymore.
Yeah. The .2 reps were busy at Galway this weekend.
I bet. Well, that's great. I'm glad you had a good time. And they had a good time here in Florida over the weekend as well. And, boy, you must have been excited.
I was sitting in my trailer on Saturday night, hitting refresh on my iPhone repeatedly. And Chad's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to find out who wins Horse of the Year. And, well, my boy took it. There was no way he could not win Horse of the Year. There would have been mass hysteria marching in the streets.
Although, from what I heard, they were a little. So, we're talking about the Eclipse Awards. And, of course, for those that don't know, that's the awards that they give. That's like the Oscars for the thoroughbred racing world. And they have multiple different categories. Well, earlier in the evening, California Chrome won for three-year-old male horse of the year. And they thought, contacts there were thinking that, he won for three-year-old male. We're not too sure he's going to win for horse of the year.
Right.
So they kind of thought initially that he was given that as a consolation prize because they always do horse of the year last. But
it's like the best
to
picture award, Horse of the Year, you know, the culmination. So he did he did win the three-year-old male. And, I mean, anybody who wins that is like, oh, so they're giving it to somebody else. But you got to realize, like, this is voted on by by writers and all, like, tons of different people, and they don't consult with each other. So the main Horse of the Year went to California Crow, baby.
Well,
so,
and now the big question was, Jamie, did Steve Coburn, the outspoken and sometimes ill-spoken owner of California Chrome, did he make a fool of himself during the acceptance speech?
Oh, no.
That's the big question.
I haven't heard any of it.
I have it. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, my God, I do.
Here's the whole thing, okay? This is from the announcement on. Now, the first person that accepts is Art Sherman. You'll hear Art Sherman, the trainer, speaks first, and then Steve Coburn comes after him. So this is the whole thing. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. The 2014 Horse of the Year, California Chrome.
Accepting the gold trophy for Horse of the Year is the co-owner and breeder of California Chrome, Steve Coburn. Racing from January through November in 2014, this California bred with regular guy roots took the nation by storm with wins in the Santa Anita Derby, the Kentucky Derby, and the Preakness Stakes. Under the steady guidance of Art Sherman and Victor Espinosa, his jockey. In all, California Chrome won 6 races in 9 starts, 4 of them grade ones, and bankrolled more than $4.2 million. The first ever California bred to win the Eclipse Award for Horse of the Year, California Chrome also becomes the first 3-year-old male to win the gold trophy since Curlin in 2007. Let's hear it again for the Horse of the Year, California Chrome.
Wow, I'm exhausted. I'm so excited. You know, this is, I wish my jock was here, Espinosa. He, you know, he's a great rider, and he did everything right with his horse. And, you know, this, we all know it's a tough game, and it's been very rewarding to me. I want to thank Perry Martin, Steve Coburn, and their wives for letting me train this horse. And when they gave me an email before he even started, and he says, the road to Kentucky Derby, I said, oh, my God. But he did win four of the five that he put down there, so I'm saying I'm a believer now, you know. And it's just been a great ride for my family. My wife, Faith, for 54 years putting up with me, so that's great, too. Thank you very much for this honor.
Thank you, Arthur.
Oh, no.
Thanks. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is truly an honor. You know, it was an honor to be nominated and then to win these two prestigious awards. You know, I have no words. I have no words, but I've got to say one thing. I've got to thank all the fans that love this horse. Because if it wasn't for the fans, we would not have horse racing. And if it wasn't for horse racing, we would not have fans. So listen, do not deviate from thanking our fans every time you get to. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.
That's it. Really? Man.
Do you think they scripted it for him and said, you have 30 seconds, and you're just spanking the fans, and you're walking out. That's it. That's all you're allowed to
do. He's like, I'm out of words, and I'm like, oh, thank God. But I do want to say this. Oh, no. Oh, no.
You hear the cheering. And, you know, he has said that. If you listen back to his interviews, I went back to some of them this morning, almost every time he says, I have no words, and then he goes on, and then he starts. I have no words, and then he goes and gets himself in trouble. But, no, he was good. I think he probably had a talking to before.
I wonder if, like, you know, his husband, I was thinking about this. He's standing in the mirror, and his wife is behind him, you know, straightening his tie and all that, and she's like, listen, this is what's going to happen if you win the award. You are going to get up there, and you are going to thank the fans and thank the people, but then you're going to get off the stage, like, or I will divorce you. This is enough. That's so funny.
That's funny.
I have no words.
Well,
woo!
Victor Espinosa, the jockey that got California Chrome there, had a few words to say. He was at Santa Anita over the weekend, so he was not at the award ceremony. And he had a few words to say. Let's listen to what he said.
Amazing. Amazing. I am so proud of him. I was just watching it last night, and when I hear that, you know, it was a three-year-old Crucible winner, and I thought, well, you know what, at least he got something. And by the end of the show, they announced the Horse of the Year. It just—I mean, for me, it was just an honor to say that I rode him. You know, it's just an amazing feeling to know that I rode him and I went to Kentucky Derby with California Chrome and one of the best horses for the race history, basically, and all the Crombies too.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot of Crombies, so it's just amazing feeling.
Aw. He seems out of words. That's awesome.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the other categories. Any stand out to you?
Well, one that I was super excited about was for male sprinter. When I was at the Breeders' Cup, excuse me, gosh, my brain's not working. When I was at the Breeders' Cup, I was looking over the program, and there was a horse called Work All Week that I watched. And Work All Week had kind of some longer shot odds. Work All Week was from a kind of smaller track. I almost think it was like West Virginia, but had won consistently, like every race he'd been in. I don't have his details right in front of me, but I just really liked that horse. And even though he was totally outclassed at the Breeders' Cup Classic, he had made his way in, and I just thought that horse can't lose. And I've actually posted a video when I was watching the race of Work All Week running, and I kept going, Work All, because he was kind of longer odds. I was like, Work All Week, Work All Week. And he won the Breeders' Cup sprint. It was awesome. And so I actually won a bunch of money off him. So I really was pulling for Work All Week to win the Eclipse Award. And by God, he did. I'm so excited for him. 2-year-old male was a horse named American Pharoah. And remember, these 2-year-old awards are the ones that we're going to be watching when it comes next year to the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby field. So Take Charge Brandy, 1 2-year-old filly. California Chrome, 3-year-old, 3-year-old filly, Untappable. Of course, that's Rosie Nikravnik's horse, who, when
expected
she
that.
Won, the Breeders' Cup, her race, she got down, told everybody she was retiring because she was pregnant and stole all
the
thunder.
I don't think there was even any competition in that category. Untappable was going to win that hands down.
Yeah. There was another horse in there I liked, but Untappable was, of course, going to win. Older Male went to Main Sequence, who was also nominated for the Horse of the Year. And then Close Hatches won for Older Female. Work All Week, Female Sprinter, Judy the Beauty. Awesome name. Male Turf Horse was Main Sequence. Unfortunately, my boyfriend Wise Dan did not win the Male Turf Horse of the Year. So, you know, Main Sequence just had such a phenomenal year, but I just can't believe that Wise Dan did not win an Eclipse Award this year. His Horse of the Year the past 2 years. He has a colic surgery. He comes back and wins a freaking race and then breaks his leg and he's in training again, and they didn't give it to him, so I was kind of bummed about that. Female Turf Horse was Day at the Spa, Demonstrative, Steeplechase Horse, owner Kenneth and Sarah Ramsey, and breeder Ken and Sarah Ramsey. I wonder what their speech is like. Hey guys, it's us again. We won again. Yeah. Okay.
We're back.
Thanks.
Second year in a row, by the way.
See you later. And they put the twice, it's the second year in a row, you know.
Yeah.
Like, one for you, one for me. The trainer was Todd Pletcher. He won his purse earnings was $22.5 million. So that's crazy.
By the way, this is his seventh time with Todd Pletcher.
Second straight and seventh time. So pretty impressive. Javier Castellano won. The apprentice jockey went to Drayden Van Dyke. An apprentice jockey was what? Isn't that what Frankie Lovato won that award?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. That's correct.
Yeah,
many years ago.
Bless his little heart. California Chrome coming in at Horse of the Year, and that is it. I mean, what an awesome, awesome night. I'm happy for so many of the horses and riders, and I'm sad for Wise Dan, but, you know, he's going to be back, and he's going to win Horse of the Year next year.
It was a good group, and, of course, who picked California Chrome before anybody? Let me just say that one more time.
Who was that?
That would be me. Remember, I picked California Chrome before anybody even was talking about California Chrome. I picked California Chrome. Just saying.
You did. Good job.
I got that one right. Yes, I did. I need some acknowledgement for being correct for a change. And we actually spent the weekend watching a certain car auction that was held out your way in Scottsdale. We love the car auction that one of these days we're going to get out there to see it. But it was a lot of fun watching million-dollar cars go.
Yeah, the tickets to get into that thing, what's it called? There's a name for it.
Yes, I got Meacham on the brain. Jennifer will help us. Which one is it, Jennifer?
Barrett-Jackson?
Barrett-Jackson. Thank you.
Barrett-Jackson car auction. The tickets to get into that thing are like $100 a piece. Just to have a general admission. Yeah, it's super expensive. And that might be a low ball, actually. They figure if you're not going to buy, at least you're going to pay. You know,
you're
going to
pay.
Something.
Well, and let me tell you, there were a lot of million-dollar cars going over the weekend. Some really exotic stuff. I'd love to just go see it sometime. So whenever we have to plan our trip to visit you at the same time as the auction, and then we can drag Chad over to the auction.
You could do what my dad's going to do, and that's apparently buy a motorhome and drive out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, he's going to do that apparently. So good times, have fun. You know what? That's awesome, Dad. Yeah, as long as I don't have to ride with you. Yeah, you guys can ride with him. That's a great idea.
Let's hear from Omega Alpha Equine and then our first guest.
Ooh, I got to talk
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And, of course, you can follow them. Yeah,
Yeah, just to let you know, I was the poster child for Omega Alpha this weekend. I had, you remember we did that free, we had the listeners, you could email and get some free Biotic 8 in the daily packets now, the travel packs?
Yeah,
so
we got
some. I ordered some too, and I got some sent to me. And so I took those with me to the show. Oh, my gosh, that's so easy. Just open the little envelope and you pour it in. So he was on the travel packs Biotic 8. He was on Gastra FX. You just pull it. I have to syringe it because he doesn't like to eat it, because at horse shows he doesn't eat anything anyway. So I have to cram that one down his throat. So he had Biotic 8, Gastra FX, and Equine Chill. So I was constantly squirting stuff in his mouth. Now, the chill, they come in like a paste, so it's super easy. I didn't have to draw it out of the syringe or anything. It was just one of those, like a dewormer. Really easy. Really easy. So I was the poster child for Omega Alpha, representing over the weekend.
Well, of course, you can find Omega Alpha on Facebook too, as well. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. Well, we are going to be introducing our first guest here. You know, a lot of times on the show we talk about business, you know, horses as they relate to business and business as they relate to horses, because Jamie runs a horse business. We've run many different horse businesses through the years, including a very large boarding stables and things like that. Of course, we own the Horse Radio Network now and are kind of in the horse business that way. But, you know, we get into a lot of discussions. We have a lot of listeners that have stables, and we've talked about the various positives and negatives of owning a stable and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but there's somebody, and this is in North Carolina, Snow Camp, North Carolina, it's a neat name, who is taking a little different approach to it. So we have Todd and Heather Erickson, and the name of the place is Sport of Horses Park. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here. Todd, before we get into what the park is, do you guys have a background in showing, or what's the story?
Yes, I'm a longtime horse owner, started riding when I was 8, then got my own horse, then started showing, then went into eventing. So I've got 30 years of taking care of horses.
So yep, you've done the whole boarding stable thing the normal way, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I came about it a little bit different way. I grew up on a potato farm when I was young, and so was around animals and horses, primarily Western. And then got a little more interested along the way, had gotten involved a little bit with as an adult in some hunter-jumper. And then when my wife and I met a number of years ago, I became the dedicated horse husband. And about a year ago, we just started fox hunting. But so I've spent a lot of time on the ground as the horse husband, and of course, you know, love horses, and we have 12 of our own.
I appreciate that. That's where I spent most of my time too, Todd. So I'm with you.
Very good.
So now you guys have had businesses in the past, like we all have, and we all know the ups and downs of owning especially a boarding stable / training lesson business. And I'd say the biggest down a lot of times is the people. the horses are easy. It's the people that are the problem usually. So tell us why you decided to take a different route. What caused you to, and then we'll explain what it is.
Sure, absolutely. And this is probably the toughest thing is, you know, when you try to do something different in any business, and especially in the horse business, it creates, you know, some confusion. So it's probably best to describe what we did is when we had the opportunity to purchase about 14 months ago, we had 20 acres and we had our horses on there, and we had an opportunity to purchase an additional 40, and then subsequently an additional 6, which brought us up to 66 acres, we decided, you know, we looked at it and said, okay, well, what are we going to do with this additional property? And through that discovery process, we looked at, should we do, you know, boarding? That would be obviously one of the options. And I don't know if you know much about North Carolina, but in our particular area, we have a lot of uneven terrain. So finding flat land is a little harder. But
are you guys in the western part of the state or more toward the coast of North Carolina?
We're actually sort of in the central, they call it the Piedmont area. We're you know, 45 minutes west of Raleigh.
And if you know where Chapel Hill is, which most people do, We're exactly 22 miles west of Chapel Hill.
Okay. So you're just right out of the triangle then.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Cool.
Yep. And so so we looked at that, and we looked at boarding, and we decided that if you board, one of the things that we didn't, that was undesirable about boarding was, you know, all of your real estate gets taken up in pastures and paddocks and taking care of, you know, people drop off their horses. So we decided we didn't want to do that. And because we really wanted more of a training facility. Of course, my wife wants an event, you know, wants a cross country course. So we discovered a little further, and one of the things that we were interested in doing is, you know, we go to Southern Pines, we go to, you know, there's North Carolina's got a really rich equestrian community, and we were spending a lot of time traveling. But when we wanted to school, especially cross country, or the other thing that we had done a little bit of is obstacle courses, you had to, you know, you've got to sign up for those clinics whenever they happen to be and go there on those days to be able to school. So we thought, well, why couldn't we, if we put together a training facility, what would it take to allow people to come on property and, like, leave a course set up and flagged with the proper questions and leave it set up so that anybody could come and they could school if it's Tuesday and they're off at 2 o'clock and they want to come out and school, that they would be able to do that. So that's kind of what led to our, you know, we went down this process with our insurance agent and the process to come up with what it would take to be able to do that. And what we ended up with was the Sport of Horses Park, which is I'm going to say private, but not in the exclusive sense. What it requires is that our members, they need to be members so that when they join, before they are ever on property, you know, they've signed the release of liability, they've showed picture ID, I know they're over 18, they've accepted the park rules. And then we decided to throw in a couple of other little, tried to go, I guess, higher tech with a horse park by, to get in and out of the park, your cell phone is actually your gate code. So you pull up to the gate and you call or text the number on the gate. And if you're a member and your caller ID is on the list, then the gate opens, you get into the park, and
hey,
I get
that's
notified.
Cool.
Yeah, and I get notified who's on property.
Oh, that's
so
really cool. I never knew that existed. Wow, that's
yeah,
really
that. Well, that was our way of being able to have access, so that this way all of the members can get into the park pretty much. The normal is 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. We felt that met most of the needs. But we've got, like, the instructors and some of the other people that can get in here 24 hours a day, and, you know, then we have access. So that was our way of being able to both provide a community, you know, provide a resource. And to take that just a little step further was – then what we decided is we didn't want to compete with the stables, and there's a lot of really good quality instructors and stables and clinicians around the area. So what we decided to do as our delivery mechanism was, why don't we let the invitations to the park go through the professionals that are already doing this and give them a resource that they can bring their students here. So instead of trying to compete with them, let's deliver the invitations through people that are already in the equestrian community doing this. So that's, you know, that's how you get invited to the park, is we're forming a network of people that are already do clinics and instruction and farriers and, you know, people in the equine services business, is let them invite their customers to be members of the park. That was kind of our delivery mechanism.
Do you pay an annual fee then? Is that how it works? They pay an annual fee?
We have really two programs. We have a pay-as-you-go, where you pay a very low, like right now we have it at like $49 for an annual membership, and then you pay a $15 day fee if you come and use the park. And or we have an unlimited fee, which right now is only at $349, and then you can come to the park as often as you want. So we did the casual rider that might only come a couple of days, you know, a year, that might want to come out, and then we did somebody that we've got a lot of people that are we actually have people within hacking distance, of course, that, you know, that might want to come and use the facility more frequently.
So have you run into any issues with too many people on the same time, or have you had any problems with anything like that?
No, actually, the timing of this show is perfect, because today is actually our first official open day. So I was going to say the answer is no.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're having that, but we do have the ability to schedule the resources. And and again, what we really wanted to do, we are a multidiscipline, so we engaged Western some trail judges and some other people to help us with the we did an ACTA, American Competitive Trail Horse Obstacle Course. We've got 3 miles of trails. We've got three all-weather arenas, one large grass arena, some schooling fields, two very large schooling fields, 3 miles of trails, and then
Jamie,
we've got our...
Jamie, would you love to have this within hacking distance?
Oh, my God, I'm so jealous right now. That sounds so amazing. Now, question, because, you know, I own a property. How much is the, like, do you have to really, you don't have to answer how much, do you have to really over-insure yourself in case of liability? Like, well, how does that work?
Well, that's an excellent question. Actually, because everybody that is a member of the club is actually part of the organization, so... To answer your question, if it was open to the public, there's probably no way we could have afforded to do it. But through the structure, it's actually not cost prohibitive to be able to. And I picked the lowest common denominator, Jamie. You'll appreciate this. I don't recommend this, but this is what I had to ask for when we insured it. If a Western rider by themselves comes on property, goes for a trail ride, and does not wear a helmet, we're insured. So that was, I don't recommend that people come here alone and ride without helmets, but the reality was there are some disciplines that, you know, that especially like on the trail ride people, that we wanted to be open to the trail riders that might be able to come. But for the eventing and jumping and all the rest of that, we the park requires two people, you know, adults to be on property.
And
so I can't believe you.
And helmets.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should require helmets for trail people, too. Start educating them about how important it is because, you know, it's
yes.
your facility.
Yes, and we can require helmets, but, you know, we wanted to make sure we were insured if somebody, you know, doesn't follow the park rules.
Right, you know,
you have to still be insured for the lowest common denominator.
You know
right.
how all riders... You know how all riders want to ride on the golf course? You know, that's a dream of every rider is to gallop across
yeah.
the greens of a golf course. Well, you guys have done it. You've made a country club for horse people.
Well, you know, what's funny is then we threw in something. You'll like this. So we threw in some amenities that we thought would be very valuable.
The bar, the country
club
bar.
Well, we don't have the bar, but we do have a Keurig machine. We have water and Powerade.
Okay, it's probably good you don't have alcohol.
Right. We do have a 3,000-pound walk-on equestrian scale because our instructors thought
that
would be valuable. Yeah, so we yesterday at our little opening reception, the contest was guess the weight of the horses and whoever could get closest. And you'll be surprised at horse people how there was about a 600-pound variance in the guesses. So
really?
That's a pretty big variance.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, if you're dosing
about...
for medicine, you need to know the
yeah.
proper weight of your horse.
Yeah, right.
That's really,
yeah.
really genius. So did the horses weigh more than people thought or less?
We had people on both sides, and we had guesses on both sides and horses on both sides of the guess. So some people guessed pretty low, and some people, but there were more guesses on the heavy side. So the horses actually came in slightly, probably less than average.
Wow.
But you know that could mean that you're overdosing, right? I mean, if you think your horse is 1,400 pounds and he's really 1,100 or 1,000.
I just
yeah,
love this
point.
Idea. I love the whole idea. I don't know why it hasn't been done quite this way before. You might find out in 6 months, but
yeah.
but I'm anxious to hear how it goes because I think it's a fascinating, fabulous idea. And
thank you.
And now I'm a horse husband, and you are too, Todd. So I assume that's why there's also a horse husband cave.
Yes, the horse husband, well, and some of the amenities I threw in for us horse husbands is I've got Wi-Fi at all the arenas, and I've got cameras at all the arenas that record so that anybody that schools can, the members can go home and then download their video from any of the arenas. Because as horse husband, I'm sure, Glenn, you realize that I've spent a lot of time in remote areas recording lessons of dressage going in circles. And yeah. I thought, how do I make this good for, how do I make this, you know, good for me?
And then you get home, and Todd, tell me this isn't true. You get home, and they watch it, and they go, you didn't get his feet right there. And I'm going, look, I was just, I spent an hour holding that damn camera up. And now you're
right,
picking
and
on
the
me
one
for
time,
2 minutes, I didn't get his feet.
Well, you're right. The one time I looked down, that you know, there was a dog that ran by. You know, I missed, you know, the jump, or I missed
whatever she's doing. I just, on the way home from Galway Downs this weekend, I said to my husband, I'm like, I can't believe you didn't get the first three jumps in that line. It was like my favorite part. And you got the boring part.
Right.
Blah, blah. I mean, I totally did that. So I guess I should go apologize.
It's not easy being, well, I call it horse husband and the barn moms, the reason we threw in like a Keurig machine or bottled water, because again, you know, I've ended up at a lot of places, and for instance, you know, we've got chairs at every place, because you know, after sitting on logs for a long time or you know, on the ground, I thought, what would be the amenities that the people that support the riders, you know, that's my perspective.
So now, as a rider, okay, let's talk to Heather here a little bit. As a rider, were you helpful in putting together who built the course and stuff?
Well, our cross country course was designed by Andrea St. Hillier, and she actually works for Michael Plum, who's an 8-time Olympian. He actually has a stable down in Southern Pines.
Right,
and yep. She went off and got trained in course making, has actually precepted over in England. And so she's the one who's designed our cross-country course. And then okay. We've had Tyson Rementer, who is a very popular eventing jump builder. He's done Poplar Place and Maryland Horse Trials. Of course, everybody knows Rolex. He goes up there and spends a whole week up there at Rolex building. He does the carvings, and, I mean, he's fantastic at what he does. So we've actually hired professionals to come out to build our courses. And a lot of this comes down to my husband trying to make me happy, which is I wanted a cross-country course. And so
I had to find a way to pay for it.
He said, okay.
Yes, that's right.
So what levels is the course at?
We currently have beginner novice, you know, maiden, beginner novice, and then training level.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And then we've been told, look, if you want to go up to prelim, we could certainly do prelim, but since we're just starting out, we just wanted to cap it at training level for right now.
I can't believe we built one cross-country jump on my farm, and I can't believe how expensive railroad ties are, much less buying giant
right.
logs, getting everything constructed. So
right.
you guys have really invested a lot, and I am so excited that this is going to be there, but I certainly hope you guys are successful. This is
Thank
just,
you.
I think it's such a great thing.
Thank you. And the other
Jealous.
Thing that's great is Snow Camp is still relatively rural, so we've even been contacted by realtors about coming out and doing bundle projects, you know, for memberships and purchasing homes.
Is it going to be like the golf course where there's going to be houses in between the jumps?
No, not that bad.
I certainly hope not.
Okay.
But, you know, in hopes of creating a horse community, you never know. We might be the next Wellington.
That's awesome.
That's a pretty big. Listen, horse husband here. We're gonna. I could tell you that one cross country course is not quite Wellington, but
we can
well,
dream
I
big.
I'm
dream.
Very excited.
Dream
I'm very impressed with the business plan. I think it's. I think it's thinking outside the box, and we need to start doing that in the horse world if we want to keep this thing going. So. Congratulations and good job with that. It's in Snow Camp. Does it ever snow in Snow Camp, North Carolina?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally.
Okay. Snow Camp, North Carolina, and as you said, it's really in between Greensboro and the triangle there, Durham Chapel Hill. It's kind of in between the two, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I know the area where you're at for sure. My actually, I have a brother that lives down near Charlotte, so I know where
That's
you're at.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Is there a website?
Yes, there is. You can go to the www.sportofhorses.com, and we're also on Facebook, of course, you know, at Facebook/sportofhorses.
sport of horses. Good luck, guys. Let's have you back in about 6 months, and we'll hear how it's going.
Would love to.
Would love to. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. What a great idea. Everybody wishes they had one of these next door with all the rings and the courses and even the obstacle courses. You'd have fun with that with your students, taking them through an ACTA course. Oh, did we lose Jamie?
I think we did.
Sorry, I'm right here. I'm here. I'm here. I said, I'm so jealous. It sounds so amazing. I can't believe it. And you know, there's a big college in Chapel Hill and probably a bunch of horse chicks in that area, and they get to just pop right on out and be, oh, my gosh, well, how cool would that be? You know, I lived in Southern Pines, North Carolina, and I would have killed for something like this. And even though I lived in Southern Pines and had all of those amenities, I still, this was just, that's such a cool idea.
It is a good idea. So I hope it works. Let's hope that that becomes a model. It is kind of like a country club for horse people with all the amenities that horse people want, right?
So, except for when he said there's a Keurig, and I was like, where's the freaking winery? Like, where are we keeping?
Well, I don't know. You know, the liability insurance would have went up then. Would have went higher if there was booze on the property. Now, probably BYOB you could get away with, but actually, you know, serving it, not so much. But,
do you know what I noticed this weekend? Speaking of booze and horses, how many, because it was not a competitive weekend, how much booze eventers consume? Holy smokes. It was like 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I got done riding, and I go back to the barn, and I don't know all these people that are in my barn, and, oh, my God, they're all drinking these, like, oh, this vodka and so, and I'm drinking Jack and this, and everybody was drinking hard liquor, like 4. It was crazy. I thought I'd be asleep by 6 if I did that, but they were just boozing like you read about. So I was like, well, I'll take a beer. You know, it was just funny. It was just so cool.
All right. Well, let's find out then. You already threw Sarah, our listener, under the bus once by saying that she used a CO2 cartridge. Was she boozing at 4? Or was she sober?
I was not around her at 4, okay. So I cannot vouch for that. I only saw her on, we met up on Sunday. Finally, we were, you know, you're so busy doing different things. So I didn't actually get to see her drink. I'm sure she was. I mean, my God, everybody. And she has, by the way, an awesome horse husband. So we'll have, next time we talk to her, you'll have to talk to her about her horse husband.
Well, maybe I'll I'm getting the next horse husband's episode together. Maybe we'll include her horse husband in that this year. That'd be fun.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, let's take a break for our song, Templeton Thompson, today. And, of course, I had to play Bring It On Home, Chrome, because he did.
Bring it on home, Chrome.
That's Templeton Thompson with Bring It On Home Chrome. You can find all of Templeton Thompson's music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. And we're brought to you today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, while we're waiting for Leslie to arrive here to do the Wacky World of Horses, we did have a couple of news stories besides the Eclipse Awards. And, of course, the biggest one was that BZ Madden was again named the USEF Equestrian of the Year for the second year in a row and the fourth time overall. She, of course, is a jumper rider and won in 2005, 2006, and 2013, and now she adds 2014 to that list. Not only that, her horse, Cortez C, actually won the Horse of the Year, International Horse of the Year. He won this year several Grand Prix, and he did two bronze medals at the World Equestrian Games, and he was named Horse of the Games, and I mean, he definitely did deserve it. This is the second year in a row that a horse owned by Abigail Wexner from Team John Madden Sales had the honor. Last year it was Simon, so it's kind of keeping it in the family all around there. Now, Jennifer, you looked up the Abigail Wexner connection, who is the owner of the horse, and they are part of what chain?
They own something called L Brands, which owns Victoria's Secret. And I believe, is it Bed Bath & Beyond or Bath & Body Works? I forget which now.
Bath & Body Works, I think you said. So
yeah.
So that's where the money comes from for that owner. And actually, Jennifer has reached out to them to see if we can get them on the show to chat with them about their horse ownership. So congratulations to BZ Madden, who's just taking the honors and deservedly so. She's pretty much just winning everything. So
wow.
Good job to her.
That's awesome. Hey, I got one for you. My turn.
Before we get off the USEF, I wanted to also congratulate Sydney Collier, our para-equestrian friend of the Horse Radio Network, who won the Ruth O'Keefe Meredith Memorial Trophy as 2014 Junior Equestrian of the Year. And she was the one that competed at in France and had the dog and the whole thing. And Sydney is a lovely, lovely girl, been on our show, at the Dressage Radio Show many times, and is 16 years old. So good job to her for Junior Equestrian of the Year. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Awesome. Well, I was just going to tell you that I'm going to take you over to Obninsk, Russia, whatever that spells. I don't even know how to say that. But in Russia, it gets pretty cold. It was Friday afternoon. The temperatures were about 30 degrees, and there's a resident stray cat that is cared for by the locals in this small little town, and the cat was meowing like crazy, and one of the women that goes out and feeds the cat said normally she usually comes and says hello, but I could hear her down the alleyway. And so she went to go look why the cat was injured or why the cat wasn't coming up and saying hello. And the cat was laying in a box on top of an abandoned baby, keeping it warm. Somebody put a baby in a box and abandoned it, and this cat climbed on top of it like a hen laying on her eggs, kept this baby warm, and was meowing like crazy to get people to come to the aid of this abandoned baby. The cat is being called a hero. The feeling kept the baby boy warm until the people could get to it. Apparently, it was really well-dressed, just left in the box, and somebody, they got it to the hospital totally fine because the cat kept it warm. Isn't that cool?
Wow. That's an amazing
cat
story.
Cat and hero. You just don't see hear those two together.
Yeah, you don't hear those.
No.
No.
Those words don't go together, but it was really, really cool.
Well, good. That's very cool. Well, let's do this. I think it's that time of the week.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
welcome our dear friend at Horse Nation, Leslie Wiley. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Will you ever get sick of that grand intro?
Never.
So how are you? How was your weekend?
Oh, I had a great weekend. The sun came out. So it was very welcome.
Good, kind of warm.
It was nice.
So because it's kind of cold in Tennessee right now, do your horses get the month of January off, or do you ride them anyway? Do you have a covered arena? What's the story?
I mean, we actually have it pretty good. we don't even need a covered arena. Like, most of the time, like, there's a few days out of the year when the ground is frozen, the arena's, you know, too frozen to ride in. But for the most part, like, compared to most of the people in America, it stays, we have pretty mild winters. So, yeah, I don't really have any excuse.
I just didn't know. Sometimes up in the mountains of Tennessee, it can get pretty treacherous. I just didn't know what part you were in. So you're in the lowland.
Yes. Yeah, we are in the valley.
Nice. Nice. Well, I was looking on horsenation.com because a word popped up, and it was the word horse husband or horse boyfriend. And tell everybody what you did about the horse husbands and boyfriends.
So we've been doing these 24-hour photo challenges for the past few weeks, and they've been a big hit. We sort of have a topic and then invite people to post their photos to our Facebook page or our Instagram and tag them. And so then we share them in a post or two every week. So last week's photo challenge, the topic was horse husbands. And, we probably should have made it a little more specific than that, but of course not. Wide open, we got over 250 submissions, people just sending us photos of their horse husbands. And so we pulled a few of our favorites and posted them in sort of a series. The first one was Gone Riding, horse husbands on horseback. The second one was Ground Crew, which was everything from horse husbands actually being helpful to horse husbands, you know, not being that helpful, or being helpful in their own little way, drinking a beer and hand grazing a horse at the same time, you know. And that one was my favorite until today. This morning we posted the grand finale. And you really should pull it up because my description's is not going to do this justice. But there's a photo, the lead photo. So if you go to the homepage and click on the best of reader submitted horse husbands and boyfriends, girlfriends, and wives, the first photo just slayed me. It is a horse husband participating in a daddy lead line class, which is a brilliant idea. It's sent in by reader Nicole Peterson, and it is hilarious. It is a horse husband. He is dressed like a lead line pony rider. He has facial hair, but also pink ribbons in his hair, little jumper straps. He looks like he's memorizing his course. It is hilarious.
Oh, my God, that's adorable. that girl, whoever sent you that wins the internet for the day.
Yeah, they win the internet. Yeah.
You win the internet for the day.
That's daddy lead line. I've never seen a daddy lead line class. That's pretty good.
That's pretty cute.
Where did they find jogger straps that big?
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
wow.
I don't know.
Oh, I really liked Chelsea Miller's, who is her husband, sleeping with the foal, who apparently had an injection or an operation or something, and they were both on the ground sleeping together. That's going to win the hearts of the internet.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Really sweet.
Yeah.
Oh. And then we've got one of a horse husband or boyfriend here,
sharing his Bud Light with a horse.
Yeah. I like the one with the guy, you know, there's guys riding horses, there's guys, a lot of pictures of men sleeping with horses. Like, they're asleep and the horse is grazing somewhere nearby. Not really the safest thing, but, you know, whatever you can do to get the job done, I appreciate it.
Did you notice the facial expressions of the horse husbands? That's what I was looking at, is the facial expressions. There weren't a whole lot of smiles, and there were a lot of looking pretty bored and wishing the day was over.
They looked tired
yeah,
to
exactly.
me. Really.
That's what it's like being married to a horsewoman. You're just tired.
And I would think that all men that are farriers should know better than to marry a horse chick. What are you? I know they're around, so it's nice pickings, they're hot, they're in breeches, but you know what? You're going to work for free a lot.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's the honest to God truth.
Yep.
So there you go. That's horsenation.com. Now, also, one of your most popular series is the Oh Crap series. And this one was pretty awesome because there was a team of riders that were to jump, like, I guess it was an eventing challenge or something, and they all had to jump this, like, over the log down the bank. And the facial expression of every single one of the team members is kind of posted right next to each other, and they all look scared to death.
That was Jamie's look over the weekend at her clinic.
Oh, God, yeah. Thank God nobody could zoom in on my face. You don't want to see what, because I was probably mouthing the F word.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love this series. And I intermittently just have people sending me photos of their, you know, their
misses.
Hits and misses. Yeah. So I was like, I need to do something with these. So we're going to get a Oh Crap column going every Monday. Get it back going. It's a reader favorite.
I love it. Now, can you tell me, I was looking on here, can you tell me why there is a Frisian in a bubble doing dressage?
I don't know if I can tell you. I don't know if I can explain it. But I will try. So I guess there was a there's a Frisian stallion inspection annually, and it was held, I guess, a couple weekends ago in the Netherlands. And so I guess they're sort of like, they do exhibitions and go, you got to one-up the guy from the year before. So this year they had I don't even know how to explain this. It's a Frisian in a bubble. Kind of like, so imagine like a hamster wheel.
Yes,
you
a
know,
hamster.
But
yeah.
There's a Frisian in it, and it's gigantic.
With a rider on the Frisian in the bubble.
With a rider on the Frisian. Yeah, it's amazing. This horse is, I mean, you just go watch the video. It's amazing.
No,
I don't understand it.
There are people helping out. Like, the Frisian is in the giant bubble, and there's a dude behind it and a dude in front of it that are pulling the bubble. But still, the rider has to keep the horse at a certain pace, and sometimes it works, and sometimes they're like, oh, go faster, slow down, slow, faster, slow down. It's pretty entertaining, but it's very bizarre. And from what it says in your description here, it says that it's a Frisian stallion inspection held in the Netherlands, and it started as a simple inspections for owners, and now it has over time evolved into the country's largest indoor horse spectacle of the year. So I can imagine that when you're trying to put your horse in a bubble, it is definitely, you're trying to one up somebody.
I love the writer who put this in for us, Lorraine Jackson, the way she describes it. I mean this from a place of love and respect, but knowing Frisian people, there's absolutely nothing surprising about this. Frisian people be crazy about showing off their Frisian. It's rooted deep in their DNA, and Horse Nation is okay with that.
It sure is.
It's It's just amazing. I mean, it's not just the bubble would be enough, but also there are dancers, there's dramatic lighting, there's piano music. I just don't understand.
Well, I know Dr. Wendy. I know Dr. Wendy Friesen that almost sent Jennifer into orbit would not do well in a bubble, and it would not go well.
Special horse.
I got to ask you, too, about the Horse Nation posting Knights, Princesses, and Horses, ABC's Gallivant. Are either one of you watching Gallivant?
I haven't.
Jennifer and I tried it. And see, I actually have friends that were watching it and think it's hilarious. It's kind of a comedy, but it's a musical. And I can't stand music and TV or movies. So I can't stand, like, musicals. And we got about 10 minutes into it, and I couldn't do it anymore. I had to quit. But apparently it's very popular. There's a lot of people liking it. And there are guys riding, what, horses? Frisians, good-looking guys on Frisians. And is it required now that you have to use a Frisian in every TV show and movie? It's the only horse that appears to be working in TV today is Frisian. I think the Frisian, there's a Frisian union, and they blocked out the quarter horse union now, and there's this battle going on, and the Frisians are winning.
I think that non-horse people are going to think all horses are Frisians. Because
are black
all
and with
see.
A lot of hair.
That or a white Andalusian. It's one or the other. Now, the last video that you have is somebody we've actually had on the show. We've had the people from the show Gladius on our show, and they were just doing something, well, it's kind of bizarre, kind of fun, and I kind of felt really sorry for the Belgians that were pulling it. Talk to us about what happened in Las Vegas in a dry lake bed.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of people doing interesting things with their horses. bubbles. This was the folks from Gladius the show, and they hooked a couple of Belgians up, and they took off gallivanting. And the guy is hooked up behind them in a parasail. The guy's parasailing behind the horses.
While driving them, and
yeah,
like driving them
with
and
some really long reins, some really long reins.
Yeah,
I don't even know where you find reins that long. Like you have to tie a bunch together.
Okay,
it's
these Gladius people are just nuts.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
He
gets
what
about 20 feet off the ground, probably total.
I would say that he would have been better off with some thoroughbreds because he didn't quite get high enough with the speed of two Belgians. But if you notice when it's done, the Belgians are like they can't breathe. They're not designed to gallop that far and that fast. It's not supposed to be. But they are, I get, you know, that's a great way to promote your show is go viral with something like that. So there you go.
Yeah.
They went viral.
Yeah, a lot braver than I am. That's for sure.
Man, January's kind of slow season for the sort of horses on the internet, but not this month.
Yeah, it's good stuff this month. Well, Leslie Wiley at HorseNation.com, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week, and you guys check out Horse Nation all week and follow them on Facebook because you can also submit horses pictures of your horse husband sleeping on the job or drinking beer.
Thank
you guys
Leslie.
Have a great week.
Thanks.
Too. Bye.
So much entertaining stuff. My gosh.
I got to do something else over the weekend. Not only did we went to a Civil War reenactment on Saturday, one of the biggest ones here in Florida, and that was fun down in Brooksville. Got to see all of that, eat some good food, and watch the battle part of it, they reenact over about an hour, and they really move the battle around so it gets in front of the thousands of people that are there. Everybody gets it up close and personal, and they have 26 cannons and hundreds of reenactors, so it is a really good one. And then Sunday, as if that noise wasn't enough for my weekend, I had the opportunity, and this was fun for me. Our next-door neighbor is a retired general from Special Forces. He was a Green Beret, but he was in charge of special forces for half the world there at one point as a general. And actually knew Chris, who is the sniper that American Sniper, the movie, is based on. And so I got to go to see American Sniper with him. By the way, it was a 2:15 showing in Ocala. It's the first time I've seen a movie in Ocala where it's been sold out, where there was not a seat left.
Really?
The only movie we've ever seen. It was packed. I mean, there was not a seat left. So I got to watch the movie with him. And, of course, this is about the top sniper
really cool.
ever in American history. But, you know, there has been some criticism. Why are we, you know, all of the anti-war people are coming out. Why are we, you know, highlighting a sniper? Well, the story is about conflict and battle, but it's more about him and his life at home. It's more about what he went through and PTSD, and, you know, there is a lot more about that than there is, and about what it's like to live in that world. And it was kind of cool going to see it with my neighbor because I was able to ask him after the movie what he thought, you know, and what he thought, one, about the whole, the making of the movie, and was it accurate, you know, were the soldiers doing things accurately, that kind of thing, the technical stuff. And
what
then also,
he
said it was 90%. He was really impressed. He said it was one of the better movies he's seen. He said it was obvious they had a lot of consulting from special forces that you know, even how to enter a building and, you know, that kind of thing. So he was very impressed with that. You know, he was very impressed, you know, with just the depiction. He thought it was really accurate to his life, you know. Bradley Cooper, by the way, is unbelievably buff. He must have been working out for a year before he did this movie, because he looked like a tank in this movie. He looked like Special Forces dude, and they took advantage of that a couple times to have his shirt off, and you could tell the reaction of the women in the audience, because he was built.
Chad wanted to see it, and I really didn't want to, but now I want to, just because you said that.
It is a good movie. However, there are some disturbing scenes. Now, a couple things happened in the theater that I thought were interesting that I would not have done myself. Some lady, one row behind us, brought a baby, an infant, to this movie. This is a loud movie. It's a war movie, right? So it's a loud movie. And there's some very disturbing stuff in this movie. And I realized it was an infant, but the infant, you know, every time there would be loud stuff, the infant would cry. And it's like, why did you bring it? I would never have brought, I don't know if you would have, but I would have never done that. The other thing that I thought wasn't good is there was only two in the whole movie theater, which I thought was good, is that there was a 7 and 8 year old about that age, a brother, sister that were there. I would never have brought somebody that young to this movie. There are some disturbing scenes in this movie because it's war.
It's R-rated.
Who brings a seven-year-old
to an R-rated movie?
I know. I don't know. Maybe they.
Gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they did that. You know, I'm not going to judge, but I would not have done it myself. But it was a very good movie. I thought it was an excellent movie. It was very well done. It was, again, it was more a story about him and his family than it really was about what he did over in the sandbox. It was really that, you know, it was really a story about what life is like as a Special Forces SEAL. You know, they have the highest divorce rate of anybody in the military. It's 80 to 90%. And you realize why once you see this. And you know, my neighbor did say, he said that's exactly what happens. What they depicted in the movie is what happens to these guys. Because, you know, it takes a special someone to become one in the first place. And to get through the school and to, you know, to go through the torture they go through to even become one. And then, you know, then they get deployed all the time. You know, Chris, who was the sniper in the movie, was deployed 4 times, and only 6 months apart. So, you know, if Chad was deployed every 6 months, what that would be like. Hard on a family, you know, and they had little kids, too. So it really is more of a story, I think, about that than it really was a story about the war part of it. Very, very good movie. Actually, I can see why it's up for a bunch of nominations, and he should be. He He was excellent and so believable. And, at you know, I'm not. This isn't a spoiler. I mean, I think everybody kind of knows what happens.
I don't.
Okay. He looks exactly like Chris. So Bradley Cooper looks like him. And his wife, portrayed in the movie, looks like the wife. I mean, they nailed that, too.
Really? Wow, that's cool.
Very well done. Yeah, very well done. You've seen war movies before. I think you could probably handle this one. There are a couple disturbing scenes, I will say that.
Okay, well, I think I could do it because knowing that it's a true story makes things more tolerable for me when they're not ridiculous and, like, blood and guts and scariness. But I wanted to tell you that it's not surprising that you went to a 215 and it was sold out because American Sniper, this movie with Bradley Cooper and it's directed by Clint Eastwood, has broken, like, every record so far. It is the largest MLK opening weekend ever. They're projecting $105 million for this weekend. One weekend, $105 million. The previous record was Kevin Hart's Ride Along with $48 million, so over the four-day weekend. It's the largest January weekend ever, which was the previous one was James Cameron's Avatar, with 68. Avatar had 68 million.
Oh,
it
beat Avatar.
Oh, wow.
It's the largest R-rated movie over the four-day weekend. It's the largest opening weekend ever for a drama. The previous record was Passion of the Christ with $83 million. It's the largest MLK weekend opener for IMAX ever. The largest R-rated IMAX ever. Clint Eastwood's, and this is amazing, Clint Eastwood's biggest debut movie ever. It surpassed Gran Torino, which earned $29.5 million, and he won the Oscar for that. So American Sniper, on its first night, made $30.5 million. It is breaking every record.
I gave $24. I donated to that, $24 worth.
How much was the movie?
It's about $12 each here now in Ocala.
My gosh.
Yeah, it's getting up there now. Yeah, it's definitely more expensive. We didn't see IMAX either. They run about 18. They do have an IMAX here in Ocala, but we did not. You know, IMAX is one of those that I don't know that IMAX would have done anything for this movie. You know, IMAX does it for space movies and, you know, large scenery movies, you know, epic movies. But I don't know about this. I don't know it would have done much for this movie. I thought about you during the movie because they had Haboob, and I thought about you during the Haboob scene. I said, oh, Jamie's been through that.
40 times.
Now, you weren't being shot at the time the Haboob came in, but...
This is true.
You know.
This is true.
I have to say that out of 6 flakes and a bale, I would give this 6 flakes. I'd give it a full bale. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a really, really, really good movie. And it really made you think. It was a thought-provoking, really good movie. The other thing I would say is stay through, you'll know what I mean at the end, I'm not going to spoil anything, stay through the credits. You'll know what I mean.
Okay.
At the end, yep.
Okay.
Now, I had to pee like crazy at that point, and I even stayed through the credits because it's a long movie. I think it's 2 hours, 40 minutes or something. It is a long movie, but it went by pretty quick. So if Chad wants to go see it, I'd go see it, but I wouldn't bring the baby.
No, we will not be bringing the baby. I took him to How to Train Your Dragon, Part 2. That's like his speed. He's going to go see SpongeBob, the movie. But other than that, like, no American Sniper.
Yeah, I don't think American Sniper is a good one to bring him to.
No.
Good
now,
movie.
Now, speaking of movies, you know there's going to be that movie, it's called Harry and Snowman. It's a documentary on the $80 champion, Harry Delayer and Snowman, the show jumper. So they're making that movie, a documentary. And I thought, well, I mean, that's good. Like, I can't wait to see a documentary on it. But it needs to be like a Pixar movie or a Hollywood movie. MGM just bought the rights for Harry, for the $80 champion and the Harry Delayer story. So Brenda Harold, yay!
has the job of adapting $80 Champion from the book to the big screen, and it's being produced by John Gatton. I don't know all these names, but anyway, it may be a major motion picture coming soon, you know, in a couple of years. So I'm pretty excited. It's going to be like a horse movie. We need more horse movies.
Do we know this Brenda Harold, what she's done before? Do we know any of her other stuff? Do you know?
I don't have that in front of me. Have you seen the movie Flight?
Oh, you know what? I'm just looking up her credits right now. She's done Gone Baby Gone, 2007, Secretary in 2002, Tron the Legacy in 2010, a sci-fi movie.
Oh, wow. Sucked. Saw it on a plane. It was terrible.
Sorry about that.
Turn it off. Stop it. Don't tell her I said that if we get her on.
Maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope. Maybe she just hasn't found her true mark yet. Maybe her true mark is a horse movie.
Yeah, when you Google her, the first thing that comes up is Tron. Never mind.
I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to burst your bubble.
Well, this is going to be her breakout film, okay? And actually, Tron made a lot of money. I guess some people liked it. But her breakout, MGM taps Brenda Harold to script Horsetail $80 Champion. So that's going to be awesome. It doesn't matter. It's going to be good no matter what, unless there's a lot of fake Winnies they use
a
different white horse.
She has a good book to go from, right? I mean, she has a good book to start with. So,
well, the story just can't be beat. Yeah. It's just the fact that this guy buys this horse for $80 off a meat truck and then goes on to win all these things. I mean, he's just an incredible story. So if you haven't read $80 Champion, get your copy now on Amazon and read it before. I'm sure everybody's read that book. But if you haven't, read it before all these movies come out.
Very good. Well, I think that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Tomorrow we have, what do we have tomorrow? Trying to remember.
Certified Horsemanship Association.
Oh, yes, we have the CHA tomorrow. Christy will be here, and of course we'll be talking training, and then we'll be back here on Wednesday with our normal Wednesday show. We have some exciting things coming up over the next couple of weeks. Jennifer and I, well, I'm heading to ADA. And we have a special ADA show coming from Philadelphia here, and we're going to be helped out by Colleen Peachy. She's going to be co-hosting that show again. And then we're also, Jennifer and I are going to be heading to Wellington, and we'll be doing a show from Wellington and checking out a lot of things, visiting with some of the hosts down there. Reese and Philip will be down there, so we'll get to meet Philip finally. We've never met Philip in person from the Dressage Radio Show.
Really
so.
Exist.
I think he's, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Maybe he's just
we'll
an animatronic
out.
Voice.
That's it. We'll find out for sure over the next couple of weeks. Lots of fun coming for you. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Take care, and we'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Have a great day, everybody. Spay, neuter, geld.